The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast, PrideofDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit. Take the first three letters of each of those three words there, you get POD. Those are the first three letters of podcast, hence the Pride of Detroit, PODcast, the Pride of Detroit podcast. Woo! I am Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T. That's what we're going to do here. We're going to sit here and we're going to talk about arm sizes. We're going to talk about just massive arms, just hulking muscles on muscles, like Rob Liefeld drawings of arms. Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online, he's here to just measure every arm of every quarterback. He wants to get down on the triceps and the biceps and everything.
Yep, all of it. But let's not talk about my arm size because...
Throbbing arms.
PFF Sam would not like my arms.
It's a little pequeño, your arm. It's a little, I don't even know if I'm using that right. Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan underscore POD. Ryan, what's your take on arms? Top 10 body part?
I would say so. I would say probably even like top five.
Really?
Yeah. But I mean, we're going to do an even better job of ranking things later on, right?
Quarterback list cast. We killed off the off-season Wayback Machine last week. Now, this week, we're going to kill off the off-season list cast. We might do some in-season list cast. That's what we do. We come up with weird things, though. But we save the best for last. Quarterbacks. And what better week to rank quarterbacks than one where the Detroit Lions put up a stinker of the preseason game, sending everyone into panic and even louder and more cloying counter panic as everyone seems to pass the buck, trying to figure out what the hell happened as the New York Giants crush the Detroit Lions 30-17 in Detroit in preseason game two in a game that matters absolutely bugger all, but has left everyone, including Matt Patricia, very upset in one factor or another. I think we said we're going to start on the offense, but just general feelings from this game, guys, like 30-17. And there, including an early run, like this was the important part, right? The early look at the defense as we saw Davis Webb put together an utterly despicable touchdown drive on the Lions. And very little, if anything, to write home about when it came to about this first team offense, including Matt Stafford.
Yeah, if there was one word I could use to describe the Lions' performance in this game, it's probably uneasy. Doesn't make me necessarily feel great about where the team is at right now. Of course, the preseason is for working out the kinks. The key is that you improve throughout the preseason and you're ready week one. Problem is, I look around the league right now, I see guys like Aaron Rodgers, like Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, all these guys are having pretty successful preseasons thus far. And then you're left with Matthew Stafford and his three drives that he had. He went 2 for 5 for 40 yards or whatever, 50 yards, I think, actually. But more importantly, 2 3-and-outs and 1 field goal in his three drives. Not necessarily all that exciting. The defense, I actually thought, played a lot better in this game. There was that one drive that you mentioned that wouldn't have happened had Devon Kennard gotten there a quarter of a second earlier and knocked the ball out before Davis Webb started moving his hand forward. But if there's one thing I can hang my hat on in the positive way, and I want to get this out now because there's a lot of negative to talk about, is that I thought the run defense was a lot better. Through three quarters, I think they were giving up less than 2 yards per carry. That slipped, obviously, in the fourth quarter, but I'm not too concerned about fourth quarter performances in a preseason game.
Now, granted, it's not like they saw the top rushing threats for this New York Giants offense. They saw Robert Martin and Wayne Gallman. Like, that's who they were limiting on the ground.
Sure, but I'm pretty sure Jonathan Stewart had four carries for negative 1 yard.
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously, no Saquon Barkley, but I was definitely enthusiastic about the run defense, especially after the game that they had against Oakland, which was not so good. And Matt Patricia said, like, we're going to work on the stuff that we struggled on last week. And they did, at least in that aspect, and got better at it. There is one aspect that they were not so good in Oakland, and they were potentially even worse against the Giants. And I think we alluded to it already. Do you know what it is?
No, I just know that there has been no louder critic of this Detroit Lions team right now than Matt Patricia himself right now, who seems to be very. So I know there's been, as I mentioned before, there's kind of the counter panic where people are saying this is fine, this is all fine. But I don't know if I am that secure in my outlook on the Lions to really come to that end of the spectrum yet. There's definitely things that need to be worked on, as you said. So going back to your question, the one other thing I don't know. What are you alluding to? Or maybe Ryan could try to answer it.
I don't know the answer to it, Jeremy. Why don't you give the listeners what they want?
It's the offensive line, right? The offensive line was a tire fire in this game, and they were a tire fire last week. And the more concerning thing about it this week is that it wasn't just the reserves that were struggling in this game. It was Taylor Decker. It was Graham Glasgow a little bit, who I was shocked to see even play in this game. Matthew Stafford sacked two times in three drives, which is an alarmingly high rate, and especially something you don't want to see in the preseason.
Yeah, I don't want to dog on Taylor Decker like some people are thinking people are doing, but like this was not a good game for that line at all, and there's no other way to parse it. As you say, those two sacks come in three drives.
Yeah. And I mean, you just don't want to see that. I imagine if I'm an NFL coach and it's a preseason game and my starting franchise quarterback is in the game and I've had a look at the backups that the Lions have, I'm throwing max protection looks out there just in case. And I imagine the Lions were probably playing pretty safe pass coverage plays if they're smart. And based on what I saw, there was a lot of people back there. The running backs and tight ends were playing back in protection mostly, and it still resulted in Matthew Stafford getting sacked twice and probably getting hit a couple extra times as well. So no reason to completely panic, because obviously the entire starting offensive line was, again, not out there for the entire game. DJ Lang didn't play in this game. But when some of your starters that are going to be out there aren't performing up to task.
Just by comparison, if I may, to jump in. The Lions had, going back to 2017, the Lions had 10 drives, and Stafford was sacked three times. Now compare that to two sacks on three drives.
Yeah.
That's almost a double the rate right there. Smaller sample size, of course, but.
Right. And I mean, and the big concern here, too, is We saw just how bad offensive line can cripple this entire offense, right? And if the offense isn't clicking, then the defense is going to be on the field for a long time. And then we saw what can happen if the defense gets tired and gives up a 17-play drive to a backup quarterback. I mean, it's just a domino effect with this offensive line. I think if there's one thing I came away from this game, it's that maybe we were a little too quick to say the offensive line was fixed. And I don't want to jump and say the offensive line is doo-doo. They're screwed for 2018 just because of a preseason game, but maybe we should roll back our expectations a little bit, because I know we have a new offensive line coach. I know we have a new great left guard in Frank Ragnow, but we probably all jumped the gun a little bit on Taylor Decker because he hasn't really gone out and proved that he's the franchise left tackle that we expect him to be. His rookie year was pretty good. Last year was not so great, but he was injured. And I think if we expect him to be at a Pro Bowl level right out of the gate, we probably have too high expectations for him.
What's your opinions on this game, Ryan?
Yeah, well, I think something about the offensive line, and I don't even know if it's something that's necessarily, you know, very pervasive on Twitter, just because I've kind of been disconnected because I had this whole like wedding thing going on this weekend and actually didn't even get a chance to like watch the game in its entirety. Just bits and pieces of it. But what about like just TJ Lang not playing? Like, is that concerning to you? Do you feel like he needs to play? Do you think that he's a veteran and it's going to be just as simple as like plug and play? Because, I mean, if this game did anything, it showed us that the depth on the offensive line is a problem. It's still not quite there. And I agree, Jeremy, with like your general assessment of, you know, the first team offensive line looking rather shaky. But, I mean, what do we make of TJ Lang not playing? Do we think that he's going to be the elixir that, you know, immediately makes the first team offensive line great or what?
I think that's simplifying the problem a little too much. I agree. We've been trying to do with the offensive line all like first it was the old offensive line coach. Then it was, you know, Travis Swanson. He's not a good center. He doesn't do pass protections well. Now it's TJ Lang's not in the game. Yeah.
It's scapegoating, right?
It's scapegoating. And I think it's, I just go back to, I think all of our expectations were too high. I was probably guilty of it too. Just thinking like, okay, you know, Bob Quinn finally has his final piece of the offensive line. All five of these guys are Bob Quinn guys. And there is something to be said about that, but I think there's also a point to be made that it's probably not great that TJ Lang has not been playing in these past couple games and he's been in and out of practice. And it becomes cliche at this point, but it's true. Like, the biggest thing with the offensive line is communication and chemistry. And if TJ Lang isn't out there with, I mean, he's played next to Graham Glasgow a little bit, but not a ton. So that's going to be fairly new for him. And the more reps he can get in the preseason, the more ready he'll be by week one, and the better this offensive line will be. But the longer he's out, the longer we're going to have to see guys like Kenny Wiggins and Joe Dahl continue to struggle next to these guys and probably lowered morale a little bit. You know, if I'm Frank Ragnow and, you know, our offensive line is struggling this much off the gate, like, I don't know how much I'm buying into the Kool-Aid that TJ Lang is just going to fix everything.
I want to talk about some more parts of this. Cause I think the offensive line was bad too. Like, I don't think that alone is not the only story from this game. Cause there was a lot else that just kind of looked shaky throughout the rest. I mean, we talked a little bit about Matthew Stafford. I don't know when I'm allowed to actually just start questioning whether we're going to have that 2016 performance again, because again, like, granted, these are the first three drives we've seen of him all preseason. So there's something to be said about sitting out that first game. But as you said, other quarterbacks just have jumped right back into it. So I'm kind of curious where it goes and how much of that is the offensive line. And then on the defense, like, I think we mentioned this before, Ezekiel Ansah got pretty blocked up by Evan Engram, who, And Jared Davis did not have a great game at all. Like, I think if there's a story coming from the defensive side of the ball, it's that the lack of investment in the front seven here from the last draft and probably through free agency is kind of showing that it's not still not good.
I was thoroughly impressed with Jared Davis's run defense in the first quarter. Like, it was good. And then the one thing that I did get to see on Friday when I checked my phone was him being left in the dust by Wayne Gallman on that angle route. But so that's still not good. Like, update, yeah. 2018, Jared Davis still not good in coverage.
Yeah, it was such a bummer too, because he was one of the few guys I had in my little list of guys that need a good game on Friday, and he goes out the first drive. Yeah, he got three tackles on the first three plays, including two tackles for losses. Two tackles for loss in one game is impressive. He had it in the very first drive, including on a third one.
Just sniping through the hole, too.
Yep. And I'm like, okay, maybe this is turning around. The problem is, what we saw him do well on Friday is what we already knew he could do well. We know he can be very instinctive in the run game, and we know he can knife into the backfield like that. And he's speedy and a pretty good tackle. But also what we knew he struggled with. And it's a shame that his entire night gets derailed by one really, really bad play. But that's
it was a really, really
bad play. And it's a really, really big concern for a guy who's going to be on the field every down. Like, this is the guy, if you've been in training camp or watched during the preseason, he doesn't come off the field with that first team offense or defense. Right. So, it's a huge liability, and it's not something to necessarily throw a big panic party about, but it's something that we've consistently seen from him. So
you're allowed to be concerned about it. You absolutely are allowed to be reasonably concerned about it. And I think absolutely. that's the discourse going with Lions Twitter right now, is I think there are some people who are slowly becoming reasonably concerned. And I can see it maybe turn to panic if this keeps up for like one or two more preseason games. There's already several people who are trying to tell them, no, don't panic. But I can't help but be concerned about this team right now. Am I wrong? Am I crazy?
I think you're wrong to be concerned about the team, but you can be concerned about individuals.
But so, individuals make up parts of the team. Like, again, sure. I mean, maybe, again, I know it's the preseason, but just between the Lions giving up some really just egg drives to guys like Connor Cook and Davis Webb, it does make me concerned a little bit for this defense. And maybe that's just me, but again, here's where I'm not as concerned. You know what? I'm going to tease it. I'm going to tease it for next segment. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why I'm not as concerned about the Lions defense, but it's not in a very positive way either. So we'll be right back, and we're going to talk more about this game. We got to talk about some of the running backs. The running game was not established, as our favorite meme would go. And we got to talk about arm sizes. Also coming up on the show, your questions and the QB list cast. Stick around. We'll be right back. And back on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. Real quick, I'm going to say my thoughts, and then I'm going to get back to being a very adequate host and letting Jeremy and Ryan speak a lot more. The reason why I'm not as concerned about the defense, but not in a good thing, is maybe because that I did not look at this defense and thought that the inclusion of Matt Patricia as a coach was going to improve it. I didn't think it was going to be that great of a defense to begin with outside of the backfield. And looking at them, I'm just not sure where, you know, if you're a believer that Patricia would have come in and fixed some things, I need you to explain the last couple of games, other than it's the preseason.
Well, I think
I don't see the genius on display, is what I'm saying.
There's a couple things I would say to that. One, it's early. Mm-hmm. And you I'll know, buy he's, that. He's still developing his scheme. At this point, you know, he said it a million times in press conferences so far. This is more about evaluation. So he's evaluating his own staff, his own players, and then kind of seeing what they have, seeing what they're capable of, and then kind of like, okay, I know that Ziggy can pass rush. I know that Jared Davis can play run defense. Now let's put them in places where they can succeed at those things, mask where they can't. The other point is that they're simply not game planning, right? And that I think is where people think Matt Patricia is very smart, where he can go inside the film room, find a weakness in someone else's offense and exploit it. And they're not doing any of that yet. Now, I'm still concerned. I don't think the Lions are going to come out week one and just blow the Jets apart defensively, even though the Jets offense doesn't look great and we don't even know who their quarterback's going to be. But it'll take time.
If it's Sam Darnold, I'm not going to even buy that this Lions defense will be that great. I have zero opinion of Sam Darnold as someone who watched him play at USC.
So, again,
my concern is just that it's concern. It's not panic. Sure. It's not damnation. I'm not saying this team's going to suck. I am sticking with my prediction, though, for this record, because I just think the growing pains are going to be a lot larger than people think, because we talked about this earlier with changing the O-line coach, how that might be an issue when it comes to this offensive line. These things take time, and every time you hit the reset button on a position coach or a head coach or coordinator, it just increases the amount of time it takes for that to reset.
Absolutely, and that'll agree with. And, it, you know, we saw it even with the Patriots last year, right? They were one of the worst defenses in the league over the first 4 weeks of the season, and they finished as a top 10 scoring defense. So, that's kind of a drastic example and not part of the norm, I don't think, normally.
Yeah, and what's also not part of the norm is Sean McVay, too, which a lot of people bring up as the first-year head coach is doing awesome.
Right. So, I don't know. I, I'm definitely concerned about the individual pieces. There are some guys that are supposed to be key parts of this defense that are very limited in what they can do, like Jared Davis, like Ezekiel Ansah. To me, you know, he does kind of everything great, but you just can't rely on him at this point. So the individuals I'm worried about, the overall scheme I think is going to work out in the end, whether that end is, you know, week 8, week 4, week 2, not entirely sure, but I wouldn't expect it in week 1.
Yeah, and again, that just, though, paints a picture to me, because, again, like, I see some people talking that they want to contend for the NFC North division and everything, and I look at that team, and you're looking at talking about week 8, and I'm just sitting here like, why should my expectations be that right now? Like, if you want to drink the Kool-Aid, that's fine by me, but I don't want to hear people saying it should be reasonable to expect these things out of a first-year head coach and all the rest right now. Like, I just don't. Like, I need to see more of it. And maybe that has to come in meaningless preseason. But I don't have the proof in front of me that this team's going to win a division right now. But let's talk about
good, really quick. If there's good news around the NFC North, though, it's that the Vikings offense looks nowhere near where it was last year.
Right. Ooh, yeah. Kirk Cousins not landing on his feet right now.
Yeah.
So
it's hard still, to stay on it. Hard to stay on his feet with all those injuries to the offensive line.
True.
But I mean, we saw what that did to the Lions last year, right? I mean, you can invest as much money as you want into a quarterback that you think is going to be great, but that offensive line really just, I mean, it can like you said, Chris, it can snake bite your whole season.
Yeah, I just don't think the Lions are going to be lucky enough for Aaron Rodgers to be out for half a season again. That's all. That's going to be an interesting. I will say that is going to be a very interesting episode when it does hit Green Bay, because he's going to want a lot of money soon, and I don't know. Like, I don't know if the Packers will give it to them.
They'd be insane not to. First and foremost, this is a fairly the greatest quarterback of all time.
Hey, don't spoil your list cast yet.
Yeah, he can be the greatest quarterback of all time and still be behind Patrick Mahomes on my list.
Yeah, because you know what? Because he won a Super Bowl early in his career, and now he's not good.
That's right, exactly. One thing I'd like to kind of discuss or get your guys' opinion on is something that I read on Twitter this week after the Lions game against the Giants. But do you give any credence to the idea that the Lions have just expended a lot of energy having joint practices 2 weeks in a row with Oakland and New York? Like, is that just a lot of physicality and a lot of like physical exertion that maybe a lot of guys, even if you're coming into training camp, you're not in the best shape yet. So 2 weeks of that and you show up for games, like, is that, I mean, do you guys buy into that at all?
Nope.
Yeah. It's interesting that was poised by Michael Rothstein at ESPN. He was kind of pushing hard with that theory with Patricia after the game. You know, he's saying the team looked tired. I mean, those kind of like cliche things like, oh, this team was more tired or this team wanted it more. I don't know. I don't really see it. Like, I think that's just kind of an excuse when you get your ass beat. Like, oh, they're just tired out there.
Sure.
It's like, and Matt Patricia's response was what I would go with is like, well, you know, even if that were the case, like, this is what training camp is for. We're going to work these guys' ass off because, you know what? They're going to get their ass worked off in the regular season. And the quicker that they're up to speed with that, the better. So maybe they were tired out there. I didn't personally see it that way, but they better get ready.
I want to talk a little bit more on the offense before we put a kibosh on this thing in like 10 minutes or so. I want to go back to the offense because I know we slagged off on the offensive line, but Frank Ragnow, I thought, played very well. He's excused from this lesson.
He's been the one consistent. Maybe him and Rick Wagner hasn't really shown too much
right
in the negative. So I mean, obviously that's really, really promising. Because
the big thing I wanted. Oh yeah, sorry.
I was just gonna say the only negative that Ragnow has really had this entire training camp was the first day of joint practices against Oakland, and then he came back the next day and was better. So. Yeah. If there's one thing to really be promised, really to have a lot of promise for, it's Frank Ragnow. He looks like the real deal.
Second thing I want to talk about is, once again, Jeremy, this is all your fault. I still continue to blame you. Once again, the cult of Rudock is back. Help me deal with this. because I get it. Rudock played a lot in this game after Stafford left. He made 23 of 30 completions and averaged like, what, 5.7 yards, which isn't great. He had like a passer rating over 100, but still, like, I've seen the worst of the worst out here. Once again, bringing it up how, Once again, it's the backup. The backup is the favorite man in town, man. Just give Rudock a chance. Give that Michigan man a chance. He could show you what you could do.
Yeah, it's all fools. If you actually watched this game and didn't just look at the box score, you're like, yeah, Jake Rudock's not ready.
Well, they probably did watch the game, but they just watched enough to see Rudock's touchdown.
Yeah, he had a couple at the very, very end of the game.
Yeah, when he had the running. He had one on the ground, and then he passed. It was to T.J. Jones, I think, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But the first time he was in the game, you know, early, right after Stafford went out, offense didn't really do anything. And when they did, it was basically on the legs of LeGarrette Blount. I don't know. I'm not buying anything with Rudock until he throws one downfield pass. I'm not interested.
His stock at all? Did you think it even helped his stock at all when we're talking about
it? Depends. It depends what the Lions' game plan was for him. If it was just to kind of play that safe check down Charlie game that, you know, was effective against the Giants' third and fourth stringers, then yeah, I guess he succeeded. But to me, he still looked like the same indecisive guy who either doesn't trust his arm enough to go downfield or just can't read the field well enough downfield, because he's not even trying at this point. He's not trying to throw a pass further than 8 yards downfield. And I can't judge a quarterback when he's not doing that, because you can't get away with that for an entire game. You just can't. And so I don't take anything away from this performance. I still think he looks really bad in the pocket, really uncomfortable, took a bad sack or two in this game. Nothing changed to me about this opinion. And just to speak on Castle really quick, the interception was not at all his fault, so I don't take that away from him. I don't put that in as a negative for him, and I still have Castle as the guy right now behind Stafford, because to me, the fact that Rudock got back in this game and played for basically the entire fourth quarter shows to me that they see that he needs the reps and that he needs to work his way from third string to second string, because he hasn't earned it yet.
Ryan, do you have any thoughts on this particular thing, or would you like me to give you a new topic?
Throw something new at me.
Let's talk about the run game a bit. Particularly, let's talk about Amir Abdullah. Your thoughts?
How quickly trains can stop, right?
Trains aren't technically known to stop very quickly, to be honest, without terrible things happening. But yes, go on.
And let's talk about the terrible things that happened that caused the train to come to a grinding halt.
Against a mountain.
Yeah. Right. I mean, so here's the problem: the fumbling is back. It wasn't a, maybe it was more of a legitimate concern than we ever really wanted to give it credence for being. But my goodness, like, good on Matt Patricia to not shake his confidence completely by, you know, taking him out of the game or kind of like limiting his play, you know, putting him right back on the field and giving him another carry on the next drive. But it's troubling, and that's one of those things when you're making roster cuts, and I'm not saying that Abdullah is going to get cut, but I mean, you just need to take advantage of every opportunity. And I thought he made a really good play in pass protection on a ball that Stafford kind of overthrew Marvin Jones a little bit down the sideline. Just not the level of good that Amir Abdullah had a week ago in Oakland. I mean, after that, it was like, well, maybe Amir Abdullah might play a bigger role in the offense than we previously thought. Like, this isn't a guy who's necessarily on the roster bubble or on the trade block, but like, this is a guy that like maybe can just be a, you know, a contributor to the Lions more than just like an insurance policy against injuries. After the Giants game, he has kind of moved his way back into insurance policy against injuries guy. So I don't know. Like, I guess I don't want to waver too far back and forth on him, but it's hard not to when he has like these great performances like he did against Oakland. And I know calling 4 yards or 4 carries for 16 yards and a touchdown You know, a great performance. It was the quality of the runs, but his play is so up and down that it's hard not to feel that way about him too.
Yeah, it's interesting. We talked a little earlier about we don't see necessarily as much of the swing and reactions from Lions fans as they proclaim there are. You know, like the sky is falling crowd might not really exist. That's kind of like a straw man at this point. But if there's been a swing of emotions in any aspect of this team, it's been with Amir Abdul in the past 2 weeks. Because after 1 week, it's like, yeah, these idiots calling for his cut. They're never going to trade him. Like he's so much better again. Like he could even be, like you said, a contributor this year. And now I can't tell you how many people tweeted at us on Friday and is like, cut him. He's gone. Get him out of this team. Can't deal with this. And part of, I get it a little bit, because you think back to how the Patriots are run. And if a guy fumbles in a game, a lot of the times Bill Belichick is like, all right, you're on the bench the rest of the game. See ya. And I expect at least some of that strictness with Matt Patricia in town. But it's two plays. He bobbled a kickoff return and he fumbled a snap.
Do you think it's so easy for Lions fans to make that judgment just because of the other running backs that are on the roster?
1,000% yes.
Yeah, like it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, you know what, cut him, because look at what Kerryon Johnson did last week. Still got LeGarrette Blount on the team, and I thought Theo Riddick looked rather pretty good. Like,
yeah, I mean,
guy who is definitely a stock up guy.
Yeah, and LeGarrette Blount, I would say. LeGarrette Blount had one really, really, really good drive, and then they put him out there for 4th and 2, and three offensive linemen got driven back 4 yards, so he had nowhere to go. But, I especially juxtaposed compared to Theo Riddick's performance and LeGarrette's performance, even though Kerryon kind of had a muted day. Amir Abdullah's day looks really, really bad compared to those guys. And I think honestly the bigger concern was the kickoff returns, because he hasn't looked very good at them both weeks, really. And we've been talking, if this guy's going to win a role with the team and like be active on game days, it might be as a kickoff returner. And the fact that he hasn't looked as good as he did back when he was the second best in the league at it, that to me is concerning for him about his job, not necessarily just one fumble on offense.
All right. You want to just put a pin in this here and move on to the Listcast?
Let's do it.
Final thoughts from this game. We're just going to confine this thing to the memory bin. Preseason, baby.
I feel like it wasn't as negative as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, but I'm sure someone's going to listen to this and say that we have just absolutely taken a huge dump on this team. this team here, I'll give it right to you. This team's going 0-16. There, bam. There.
Impossible. Impossible. They've already lost a preseason game. Not possible.
So, 2-14? We'll be right back. Listcast coming up.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
All right, let's start our Listcast. Listcast time. Listcast doesn't stand for anything. It's a list in the podcast. There. It's a list in the podcast. We're going to give you our top 10 quarterbacks of 2018, the ones we think are going to be the greatest quarterbacks of 2018. This is always the final thing of our positional rankings Listcast. We put these out every year. And then usually Listcast goes into hibernation until we decide to Listcast top pizza toppings or N64 games or something like that. We've done several of those before. You can go back through our archives and find special editions of the podcast where we go and list off N64 games. Their friend Evan, who is back on Twitter. Shout out to @BigSlickMcDick. Probably the best Lions in-game commentary you will have.
We should like, you know how Disney has movies in the vault where they don't sell them during periods of time? We should do that with our Listcasts. It was like, oh, you can't get our N64 Listcast until later. You got to pay for it. Paywall. Let's do a paywall.
This is basically our idea for a Patreon that we know no one would do, because the Patreon would just be that. It would just be like really dumb stuff like N64 Let's Cats.
Let's just bring the Patreon way with the podcast.
I don't want to even do this now.
Good.
Who wants to start us off? We got to go pretty quick on this because we got one segment for it. So 10-9-8. Give me your 10-9-8 quarterbacks. Let's go to Ryan first. Let's see if Ryan's ready to go.
Oh, why do you want to do this to me?
Because I'm not ready.
Ready okay. to go? Come on. Come on, right. Rock God. You're born ready to go.
Yeah, I know I was born ready to go. So I'll just start from the rip. Ready? Number 10, Patrick Mahomes.
What? Are you reading this in the wrong order? Is this supposed to be the top one?
Am I inversing these? Okay. Yeah. No, it's a good joke, but no. We'll keep it short, sweet, and to the point, like we always do, right? Patty Mahomes, number 10. Just wait on it. You'll see what he does. He threw a ball 70 yards through the air to Tyreek Hill.
That was ridiculous.
One of the most insane things I've ever seen in my entire life. Number 9, Ben Roethlisberger. So close to not making my list, because low key, like, other players make Ben Roethlisberger. Like, I feel like that's not even a hot take anymore. Like, at this point,
Jalen Ramsey, take it easy.
Well, no. I mean, I'm being honest, though. Like, at like, what point in Roethlisberger's career was he not, like, surrounded by, like, top-tier receiving talent and or great running backs? Like, and I mean, great defenses to go through with all of it. So, I mean, like, I feel like he's a quarterback who's like really just propped up by like the other parts on his team.
Maybe a little bit. The one thing I would say to that though is that he's such a unique talent that he makes these plays that no other quarterback could make, where he's just like breaking ridiculous tackles and then just finding someone wide open.
Yeah, and there's an element of it to that, but also, I mean, he's a guy who has thrown his fair share of interceptions too.
Sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. Ben Roethlisberger, number 9. And number 8, Carson Wentz. I know we only got one season of him, and it wasn't even a full season. And who knows if we're even going to get a full season of Carson Wentz this year. But, I mean, he showed me enough last year for me to, like, completely buy in on him. So
that's fair.
I don't know if Carson Wentz is going to make any of your guys' list, but we can talk about him later.
Well, why don't I go ahead with mine then? My number 10. Oh, what?
I said go ahead.
All right. My number 10 is Carson Wentz. Bottom of this list might as well be young guys who I think are going to be really good, but who got injured or something, and thus kind of limited my sample size. So Carson Wentz starts me off at number 10.
I agree with that.
Won the Super Bowl. He could have won that Super Bowl, I think.
For sure. Oh,
absolutely.
So I think that's what we need to know about him. Number 9. Is another young guy here, Deshaun Watson, who, again, I thought played very, very well last year, right up until he got hurt. And it's easy to remember that forget that he's off the table right now.
He's a guy I need more from. He's a guy I need to see more from, because his touchdown percentage was insane. It was like over 9%, which, I mean, you're talking their quarterbacks, I mean, like, you're talking like Aaron Rodgers level type stuff. It was four games.
So why is Patrick Mahomes on your list then?
Just wait.
Just wait. See, okay, I might as well say right now, I keep wanting to put Jimmy Garoppolo on this list for the same wait stuff, but he's not on my list right now.
So I'll go ahead and say he's not on my list either.
Yeah, I'm so out on Jimmy Garoppolo.
I really wanted to, before you reminded me of Carson Wentz, he almost made my list, but it's an Italian thing. He's good. He's top 10 in my heart. Number 8, Philip Rivers.
Okay.
I think he's great. I think Philip Rivers is so good, but I'm worried about how many more years he can really keep doing this.
It's a legitimate concern to have, that's for sure. Yeah.
Like, the Chargers were low-key pretty good last year. It's just they are now the number 2 team in L.A. they have seen fit to try to charge everyone $100 to park and can't even fill up a soccer stadium. So it's easy to forget about Marmalard out there, but Philip Rivers is my number 8. Jeremy, take us in.
This is a perfect transition because Philip Rivers is my number 10, and his career is just like a Greek tragedy to me. Like,
what if he had stayed in New York? What if he had stayed with the Giants?
Right? Maybe this is all just like a comeuppance for that decision from him, because this is a guy, career completes 64% of his passes, 7.8 yards per attempt. He's almost got a 95 passer rating for his career, which are really stellar numbers, if we're being honest. But him along with the Chargers, just like, you know, Murphy's Law, what can go wrong will go wrong. Years that they've had one of the best offenses and defenses, their special teams just drowns them completely. And it's unfortunate because I think Philip Rivers is really been one of the most underrated quarterbacks. And I think people don't like him because he's prone to making some mistakes and he has a real resting bitch face, if let's be honest.
And he's kind of crazy.
But yeah, I feel bad for the guy, but I think he's still playing at a good enough level where he should be considered a top 10 guy in this league. Mm-hmm. My number 9, I don't know why I got into an argument with Ryan about him because he's my number 9 as well. Ben Roethlisberger deserves to be on the list for sure, in my opinion. I know a lot of Lions fans think that he's washed and that maybe they think the same thing as Ryan, that, you know, he's more of a beneficiary of a good surrounding team. And while there is a point there, like I said, the guy is just kind of a really unique talent out there. And there's something to be said about that when you can do things that no other quarterback can do and it can help your team win. I mean, we say the same stuff about like Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, he doesn't quite have the arm talent and necessarily, I would say not necessarily the accolades that Aaron Rodgers does outside of, you know, team wins, things like that. But Ben Roethlisberger definitely deserves to be on this list. My number 8, not exactly a huge fan of this guy, and I'm kind of surprised to even see him on my list, to be honest. Cam Newton. He can be a really exciting player at times. He can be a really, really great player at times, but his accuracy issues are real, whether he wants to admit it to his former players or not. Something is holding him back, and I'm not sure what it is, because his arm talent is amazing. His ability to escape the pocket and make plays with his feet are basically second to none. We'll see if it stands true with some of the new guys coming into the league, but he's a guy that I just expect to be better than he is on paper. And we'll see if he can return to MVP form. I don't think he will necessarily, but I still like him enough that I think top 10 is legitimate for him.
All right, 7-6. Let's go. Ryan.
7. Philip Rivers. We already talked about him. Just incredibly consistent throughout his career. Big fan of Rivers and his game. And then number 6 is Matt Ryan. Don't know if that's low, don't know if that's high, but it feels like a good spot for him. It's just weird whether or not the one season 2 years ago is going to be like the outlier for Matt Ryan. Like I just have a strong feeling, like I have a strong feeling like that season is going to be like the apex Matt Ryan. And but then again, like you can't get much better than what he did. I mean, he threw for a shade under 5,000 yards, 7.1 touchdown percentage, 38 touchdowns to only 7 picks, and was just like the league leader in like every advanced metric. Like that offense is historic. So I don't know if we've seen like the best from Matt Ryan, and now it's going to be kind of like this wavering back and forth of maybe like shades of good and shades of bad, but they've given him a ton of talent. So I mean, he's another guy where you can almost kind of make the claim, like, when has he ever been without, you know, guys like Roddy White or Julio Jones, or now they have Calvin Ridley and, you know, he's stable of running backs. So that's number 6, Matt Ryan.
All right, my 7 and 6, let's start with number 7 right now, and I think I'm going to have to go with Cam Newton. I still believe in seeing a little bit out of him. I don't know where it's going to go. He's kind of escaped the lower end of this, which seems to be guys who, like, I want to trust, but I have concerns about. He's kind of in that category too, but you guys have said enough about him. I'm not as down on him as some other people. I think he can put together another stellar season, but I don't know how many he's got. But I don't know. Hey, we'll see. I guess we'll see. Carolina seems to always be weird. Number six. And I'm surprised I'm probably the one lowest on this. So I'm sweating right now. I'm sweating profusely. Is Matthew Stafford. And I think that, again, we're a Lions podcast. So I think I can, I'm trying to fight against some bias here when it comes to being a Lions fan, putting him up there. But at the same time, too, he's got a killer arm. He had a really killer 2016 and all the comeback from behind. But when it comes to a lot of shortcomings he has, I feel like a lot of the times, and maybe it's on us sometimes, we make a lot of excuses about the pieces around him. And that's kind of a bias we have because we talk about the pieces around him all the time. And we see about how there's always failing, how he doesn't have a run game to support him and whatnot. But at the same time, too, I wish I was a more eloquent person talking about this stuff because people seem to shit on me because I can't be eloquent with some of these things when I have misgivings about people because it's just not in me to be that negative about people sometimes. But sometimes when I see Stafford, I still I kind of wonder what he's doing sometimes. I really do.
Well, Chris, you can't spell eloquent without adequate.
That's right.
Don't look that up. Anyways, 7-6. My 7 is Carson Wentz. I'm with Ryan. I want to see a little bit more. I think some people are going to throw around the system quarterback label with him since the Eagles succeeded without him. But you look at how he throws the ball. You look at some of his accuracy, and it's insane. He deserves to be in this conversation. My number 6 is also Matt Ryan. I don't have anything much to say that Ryan did say other than I think his 2016 season where he was MVP was actually a little overrated. You can't argue with the stats, but his performance is actually a little bit more up and down than you'd think. But I also think his 2017 season was a little underrated. So I think he's a happy medium between where he was in 2016 and 2017.
All right. 5-4-3. Quick to Ryan. Oh, wait, did you even give your 6 there?
I did. Yep.
Okay. Sorry. Miscounted. Ryan, 5-4-3.
5, Matthew Stafford, for the obvious reasons. Number 4, this is kind of shocking, but number 4 is Drew Brees. Like, I wanted to put him at 3, but, like, I couldn't do it. And the thing about Brees, though, is he's just been so uber efficient, like, all throughout his career. And not only is it, like, efficiency, but it's, like, efficiency with, like, a ton of volume. Like, it's insane, like, just what he's able to do. I mean, last year he led the league with a 72% completion percentage. Now, granted, he's throwing a lot of passes. He's throwing a lot of passes to running backs and everything like that. But holy moly, like, that's just it's something incredibly impressive that he's just been able to do throughout his entire career. Like, first ballot Hall of Famer all across the board. It's insane. Like, he's had 3 seasons or 4 seasons where he's been 70% completion percentage or better, which is just nuts. So he is number 4. Number 3, Russell Wilson. I went back and forth on putting Wilson and Brees in other spots, but I just think Wilson does more with less. And you factor in his ability to, like, just make great reads and to take off and to run with the ball. And with relatively, like, little help on offense. I mean, like, yeah, benefited from Marshawn Lynch and whatnot, but that offensive line is just so incredibly laughably bad. What he's able to do with it is just, like, is incredible. It's not so. Yeah.
Yeah. My number 5 is, and I think with you, like, my number 5 is Matt Ryan. I'm a little higher up on him, I guess. I'm not going to completely write off his MVP season. And I still think he's got he's damn good. He's damn good. He makes that Falcons team what it is. Number 4 for me is Russell Wilson, probably because my number 3 is Drew Brees, because unlike Ryan, I just cannot supplant Drew Brees yet. Just as you say, the volume of what it is, I think he can do it another year. Whereas Russell Wilson, though, has a lot of upward mobility on this list. Like we talk about Cam Newton down there and other mobile quarterbacks, but Russell Wilson really is the real deal. And I admit that now. I've fought against it for so many years because I've thought Russell Wilson was a very basic individual, but he's good.
I mean, he still is.
Yeah, he's insanely basic.
Just an incredible football player, though.
Yeah, yeah, begrudging respect. Right. 5-4-3 for Jeremy.
It's the same as Ryan. 5 Stafford, 4 Breeze, 3 Wilson.
Wow.
Stafford, the one thing I want to see out of him is just more consistency, especially early in games. We just went through the Wayback Machine, and how many times did we say the Lions got off to a slow start? And part of that is Matthew Stafford. You know, I feel like it's a common theme that we see him overthrow balls early in games. Like, he's a little jumpy or whatever. And the comebacks are great. They get my adrenaline going. They probably shorten my life. But I would love it if he could just come out firing in these games so that I don't have a high cholesterol level, a high blood pressure, or whatever.
I think that's the difference with a lot of people, and why Stafford, I think, gets variance all over the place on where he ranks as a quarterback, though, is that consistency and how you feel about those fourth quarter comebacks. Because, Jeremy, you're always the guy talking against narrative. You don't like the idea of narrative. Right. And what is a fourth quarter comeback but a narrative in that your team was down because you weren't good enough to command a lead from the start?
And in some of those cases, and especially in 2016, the Lions actually had a lead early in that game, but then right. The defense blew it. But still, I think we can all agree that Matthew Stafford isn't necessarily the quarterback that he should be in the first quarter as compared to when he is in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, where a lot of the variance comes. So yeah. Do we all have the same people for 1 and 2?
I would think so. And just quickly on Drew Brees, I think he gets a lot of slack for holding onto the ball too long, but he doesn't have a great receiving core. And
I'm with Ryan, though. He's first ballot Hall of Fame, and that's insane to say about a guy who is only 6 feet tall coming out of Purdue.
Wait, Drew Brees or Russell Wilson? Yeah. Okay, no, Did I say Drew Brees? I meant Russell Wilson when I was talking about him holding onto the ball too long.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's fair, because I trust when Russell Wilson holds on the ball too long, because sometimes he can just make things happen when he holds onto that ball.
Yeah,
he also does take a lot of sacks. So.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, that kind of comes with the type of quarterback he is. So,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do want to note before we talk about 1 and 2 that, you know, I was reading some other lists here, and I did find one from NFL.com by David Carr. And guess who's number 4 on David Carr's list of top 10 quarterbacks?
Derek Carr.
Hell yeah, baby. None of us named Derek Carr here.
Derek Carr wasn't even in consideration for my top 10. Probably wouldn't even be in consideration for my top 15.
Ooh.
For being honest.
How much he gets paid, too. Yikes.
I mean, if I'm judging based on what's going to happen in 2018 and not just like quarterback in a vacuum type situation, then yeah, he probably wouldn't make my top 15 because Raiders.
Yeah, we're talking about what's going to be in 2018. We're trying to make predictions here.
Yeah.
So what is your order for 1 and 2? Because mine is actually, I mean, I don't know. There's no right way to do this. There's no right way to say Brady over Rodgers or Rodgers over Brady in my mind.
This is the first year that I put Tom Brady over Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I keep wagering father time, and I keep end up losing because, I mean, granted, last year was an anomaly because Rodgers got hurt, but I don't know, man, just holy shit. And I feel super defensive about Rodgers because I really think he is a really great quarterback, and I just don't think he's got the hardware that everyone expects when you're talking about the greatest quarterbacks out there, because just the Packers have been abysmal. And at the same time, I have to be defensive about him too, because Andy Benoit went out there and insinuated the only reason we think Aaron Rodgers is great was that he won a Super Bowl early in his career. And that's not true. He's amazing.
That's an insane take. That is a take only an insane
literal insanity. Made. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, I think, prior to last year, had a 4 or 5 year string where he was the best quarterback in the league. He's insane. He makes such insane throws. I was watching All or Nothing, the Dallas Cowboys All or Nothing from last year, and they did that flashback to that throw he made in Dallas, where it was just he's running to his left, just nonchalantly, quickly turns his shoulders and fires an absolute missile to I don't remember who it was, but just toe tapping on the end. And the sideline to get them in field goal range in like 10 seconds. And that's just something that no one else can do. And the way he manages the pocket is also unrivaled by anyone else in this league. For a guy that doesn't run the ball a lot, like actually run past the line of scrimmage a lot, I've never seen someone manage a pocket like him. It's no, insane.
He's a god in the pocket. He's a god of the pocket. So what's your order then, Ryan? Who's one or two?
Brady's two, Rodgers is one. And I say that just because, like, man, Rodgers does so much with relatively little. And this season, like with Jimmy Graham, might just be terrifying.
I can't.
Like, I'm not trying to put a ton of stock into Jimmy Graham. Like, let's pump the brakes on that. But like, when was the last time like Rodgers had a tight end of like that caliber?
I'm rolling the bones again in favor of Father Time, and I am saying Rodgers over Brady, but I'm doing it in a 1-1A route because I just can't do it because I know I'm just going to look ridiculous, even though Brady is probably the last person in the world I want to say is one of the greatest of all time quarterbacks because he's just everything about his personality and who he is and all the weird things he believes just makes me want him. I'm just repulsed by him. And it's so perfect that he is the best in the NFL that we just can't have a consistently great, amazing human being like the NBA has with his greatest player of all time in LeBron James.
Like the last time Aaron Rodgers threw more than 8 interceptions was almost a decade ago.
Yeah.
It has to be the Packers at this point. Like, can we just say that the Packers have just wasted his career?
I hate that term so much.
But you know what? I think it is true because there should not be just one Super Bowl ring on Aaron Rodgers' finger.
Until
like last season, this is a franchise that did not believe in hiring outside free agents.
I mean, all that is probably true. But it's not easy to build a franchise outside of having a franchise quarterback. You know, how many franchise quarterbacks would you say there are in the league? 8, maybe? 10? And
yeah, that was something that was weird.
Like that, there's so much money being pumped into quarterbacks. You can't really be anything but a franchise at this point. You're a franchise or you're a nothing.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, like, if you have a franchise quarterback, there's what, 8, 9, 10 franchise quarterbacks every year that don't win a Super Bowl. It's just I just don't like saying it's a waste that they're wasting his career when, like,
I'm giving you an opening to shit on the Packers.
I know, and I can't do it because they make NFC championships like every other year, and the Lions.
That is true. That is true. They do get pretty far in the NFC. But then when they blow up, like, you can tell when they blow up. Like, we were talking about Philip Rivers and all the ways he's been sabotaged. I can see Mike McCarthy fucking sabotaging Aaron Rodgers out there. Like, I can see it. It's visible. It's in my eyes. Is it in your eyes, Ryan?
Aaron Rodgers is freaking good. Just forget it.
He's insane.
Can we stop talking about him now?
No, I can't. Let's go on to the mailbag. You're right, but I'm just saying, like, even as a Lions fan, he's insane, and I love him.
Okay, you can say he's insane, but you can't say that second thing. You have to bleep that.
Mail time, hashtag AskPOD. As always, get your questions in. Please send us questions. Do not, as the thread did this week, just sit around and talk about Jeremy's question to you or his title.
The comment section isn't for commenting, people. It's for asking questions. Get it right.
In this scenario, that's absolutely right. It's for asking questions. Jeremy, do we have reviews?
We have review. And
a review.
Let's just talk about it. It's from DesNuts431, so you know it's going to be a really good thought-provoking review. One star.
Didn't he review us before?
I feel like he did, and I was wondering about that, but he either got a second one in, maybe he was Des421 before, or maybe...
God damn it.
I think you can update your... You know what? We're not going to read it. It was one star, but you know what? I think we already got one from him, so screw you.
Is it just him shitting on us again because of the... Because of the Patricia stuff and because
of stuff? It's he says it's an okay podcast, which is weird to give it one star and also call it okay, but mostly just saying we get off topic too much, which, you know what, we go an hour and 20 minutes every episode. We're deeper people than the Lions. We like to talk about the Lions.
You listen to sports radio. Do you know how many times those guys are on topic?
Yeah, let's start talking about the Babe of the Week, guys. You want to talk about the Babe of the Week?
Not even talking about that. I just listen to too much LA sports radio around here where they get off talking about like random members of the Eagles or something.
Yeah, whatever.
It happens, man. Not everyone can talk for an hour straight.
You know what? We've been doing this thing for 2.5 years. We don't need to defend this podcast
anymore. I just, again, as I've said before, I like to do it au naturel. Yeah. Everything stays in.
Deal with it.
Unless it's like really compromising, like the tale Ryan told us last week, which I did record, but I decided in my better judgment not to include as a hidden track.
Why didn't we?
Thank you.
Stuff, well, how did that make the final track?
Ryan didn't realize the recorder was on. He was that hungover.
I had lots of sodas.
Simon Bredvig asking us our first question. Would you like to see the Lions appear on Hard Knocks or All or Nothing at some point?
Yeah, of course. Like 1,000,000,000%, I would love it. Like they're both really fun shows and really interesting shows. And while I was a little critical of Hard Knocks this week because I don't think they treated the Corey Coleman stuff fairly. I don't really care about the drawbacks of, you know, maybe them seeing something they shouldn't see out of the Lions and some sort of secret being divulged. And let's be clear, Matt Patricia would never say yes to this. It would never happen. But I would love to see behind the scenes of this team and see what practice really looks like, even though, you know, I've been there at practice, like actually seeing the kind of conversations that are happening on the field and in locker rooms and meetings. All that stuff is fascinating to me, and I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to hear that about their favorite team.
Ryan?
What?
Okay, great. Greg G asking us, what is wrong with A'Shaun?
I don't know if there's anything wrong with A'Shaun, but I don't know. It could be a scheme thing, which doesn't seem like it would lend itself well, just because he kind of made his name as a run defender, and it seems like he would work well like in a Patricia scheme, but I don't know. I don't know if there's necessarily anything wrong with him. I mean, Rothstein did point out that Patricia said, you know, the reason that A'Shaun Robinson was playing into the fourth quarter is just because he wanted to get him more reps, and he wasn't the only player that you would suspect being like the quote unquote starter that played like late into the game. You know, LeGarrette Blount did as well. And so I don't know. I don't know if there's anything wrong with him quite yet. Like, I don't want to be so quick to say that he's like bad. I mean, actually by PFF standards, he actually had like a pretty decent game against,
large adult
against
son
the Giants.
I'm a little concerned. Patricia can spin it however he wants. I think it's not, I mean, if he was truly going to be a big asset to this defense, you wouldn't put him out there in the fourth quarter of a preseason game. I don't know.
So can you say the same thing about Blount then?
I don't think Blunt's going to be that big of a guy in this offense. If I'm being completely honest, like he'll be there, but I don't know. I don't expect him to be the starter in a way that I think people thought A'Shaun would be. And so it's concerning to me. It's concerning that the Lions went out and draft or got two guys in free agency playing kind of like the nose-ish defensive tackle position instead of him. Like they got two run-stuffing DTs. They went out and specifically got them over A'Shaun. So I don't know. Let's also be clear. A'Shaun is repping with the twos now in practice. He essentially lost his starter status in practice to Ricky Jean and Sylvester Williams. Those are your two starting DTs pretty consistently over the last week and a half. So there should be concern there, I think.
All right, we got a slalom of questions about quarterbacks now. So we're going to take them all as one. Reyes asking us, where are we on our secondary QB position? Let's see here. BK Shaky asking us, do you think the Lions are happy with their backup quarterbacks? And I'm trying to find the other person who was asking about quarterbacks. Oh, Ray Stakenos asking us, am I crazy for wanting to trade a late round pick for Teddy Bridgewater?
I think it's going to cost more than a late round pick, because I don't know if you guys saw the report about, apparently the Seahawks like offered a second round pick to get Jacoby Brissett.
Whew.
Like, I mean, we're talking about Jacoby Brissett here. Yeah, I mean,
we're talking about someone who has the Tom Brady rub on him, though.
Maybe, but he also had the Indianapolis rub last year. He got rubbed a lot, 52 sacks. The going rate for a quarterback is not that cheap in the NFL, especially, you know, Teddy Bridgewater has played pretty well in this preseason. And I don't care how injury prone you are, teams still take big chances on guys. Look at the deal that Sam Bradford got this year. You know, you'd have to invest like a healthy, at minimum, I think like a day two pick, and the Lions can't do that.
Well, can we ask about the general question too, about if the Lions are happy with what they have? Because I mean, we just got done talking about these guys, and we're still not sure if Kassel or Rudock's kind of pulled ahead from it. And I mean, I don't like any of that, either of them right now.
Jeremy, I think that at this point, the Lions just kind of have to be happy with what they have. Like, I don't think that there's any other avenues they can really pursue. What do you think?
There is one.
Yeah. I know what you're going to say, but you're at a very late portion of the preseason right now. You have two more games to prove anything. And Jim Bob Cooter's scheme is not simple. And so if you're bringing in a new quarterback into the competition this late, you're already kind of putting yourself at a bigger disadvantage. And so I think the Lions are just going to ride or die with I think it's Kassel at this point. And you just hope to God he doesn't ever make it on the field.
I mean, this team's screwed either way. We've said for years, I mean, for over a year now, that if Stafford goes down, it's all over anyway.
Yeah, as is the case for what? Probably like 30 of the 32 NFL franchises?
No, I'd say less than that, because there are some pretty stinker quarterbacks out there. Like, I mean, if Case Keenum goes down for the Broncos, I don't think that's going to be appreciable difference too much there. That said, though, there is still one option. I'm just saying, it's an option. It's an option, folks.
Who is it?
You know.
I don't know.
EK. And not Louis.
Next question here from Craig Olson. Top five teams that will be looking at trading for Amir Abdullah. I think we took this question last week, and again, I don't see how people see the trade value in Amir Abdullah. You guys know that it's not in a vacuum. It's not like these people are dumb and not seeing the same thing you guys are when it comes to Amir Abdullah, right?
If they wanted to trade Amir Abdullah, they should have done it after the Oakland game. Because after the Giants game, I don't know who's ready to shell out a nice little draft pick for a one-year rental. And a guy who hasn't proven that he can do it over the course of a season yet.
This is the thing, like, you can't just say we're going to trade you our trash and you will take it. That's not how this works.
You'll give us something of great value in return.
Yeah, this isn't a one man trash, another man treasure thing. Like, they're seeing the same things you are when it comes to Amir Abdullah. They're not dumb. This isn't the 90s where or anything, or just any other previous decade where no one just had that tape. They know. They're seeing it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, the one place that makes kind of sense, and I mentioned this is last week, is the 49ers. They're dealing with who got injured? I can't even remember right now.
Jerick McKinnon,
that's right, got injured. Yeah. I think he's a good fit over there, and obviously Martin Mayhew works there now, and he's the guy who drafted Amir Abdullah. So if there's anyone that would believe in some Amir Abdullah hype, despite the lack of results here in Detroit, it might be him. But it's
Washington too, I think. And I know we kind of talked about Washington because of the Geist thing, but Samaje Perine got hurt too.
True. So, and that's why they're currently looking at Adrian Peterson. So not exactly the same kind of back that Amir Abdullah is, but that is a sign of desperation.
Well, let's see here. Honolulu Blue Balls, great name, by the way, is asking us, what if it's Theo they trade instead of Amir?
That would be the worst idea. Yeah. Such a bad idea. Like, I don't understand why you want to trade. Like, this is the argument that I see from people online. Hey, he's one of the best pass-catching backs in the NFL. He's really good at pass protection. Let's trade him. What other running backs on our team outside of LeGarrette Blount have proven that yet in the NFL? Like, we have two preseason games of Kerryon Johnson and some training camp practices. Like, I think great things are going to happen for Kerryon Johnson. I would also really like it if we held on to the thing that's really good, you know, e.g. Theo Riddick. Like, he's great. He's sensational. Why would you want to trade him? Like, is everybody's mind so far removed from when the Lions running back depth was so shattered that they were starting Zach Zenner? Do we remember this? Do we remember when this was a thing?
I mean, it goes back to the point we made when we were talking about Amir Abdullah a couple segments ago, where the Lions have this quote-unquote embarrassment of riches at running back, so they're like, okay, let's just get rid of some of that. We're fine. But there is no one on this team that comes close to pass protection as Theo Riddick. No one. Not LeGarrette Blount, not Kerryon Johnson, certainly not Amir Abdullah, not Zach Zenner. And that is a really underrated skill. And that's something that we've heard Bob Quinn mention over and over again when he was scouting running backs, right? That's such a valuable position. And I know that that Theo Riddick's cap hit is what, $3 or $4 million, and the Lions could theoretically get rid of that.
Theoretically.
But to me, that's still a bargain for what he brings to this team. And I mean, how could you see what he did to that linebacker on Friday night and say, nah, we don't need that?
Next question here. We're getting into some of the, actually, you know what, before we get into some of the weirder questions, real quick, over the news wire, I want your guys' thoughts on the signing of Marcus Cromartie.
I'm literally typing an article about it right now. I don't have any. I mean, they signed him and waived Stephon McClure, who you may remember from nothing this offseason. To be fair to the guy, it's with an injury designation, so it's not like they just cut him. Apparently some sort of injury. If he passes through waivers, he'll probably be on the Lions IR team. Marcus Cromartie, I'm looking up right now. He has 22 game appearances, only one start. No interceptions, 3 passes defended in his career. Depth guy, probably won't make the team.
Okay, great. Awesome. Here we go. Arrested for grill theft asking us, is Quandre Diggs QAnon?
I don't understand the question. I don't know what QAnon is.
You don't know what Q... You haven't been following along the news at all about QAnon.
Apparently not.
Ryan?
I don't know what's going on. All I know is that the people who are submitting questions have great names.
They do have some good names. To answer your question at Grill Thief, he's part of it. He's part of the cabal. He's one of the many sources showing us the great satanic pizza cult that runs this country.
Word. Like,
next question is from Ryan Collins at Shafty Von Hack. Is a good burrito one you eat with your hands or a fork?
Ryan, I know you're eager to jump in here.
Yeah, well, no, burrito definitely. Like, you, by design, you should be able to eat the whole burrito with your hands. Now, there's no problem
go on.
The burrito fundamentally fails if you have to eat the whole thing with a fork. Like, I don't mind eating leftovers and droppings, but like, oh God. Don't,
but this is what I was going to say.
Out of context.
Well, this is just what I was going to say, though. Like, because I know a lot of burritos, I'm in favor of hands because I'm out in California and the California burrito is the thing, and I insist on having it in my hands. But I'm just saying, like, what about the smothered burrito, though? Like, what about burrito you get and it comes out and it's been covered in queso or red sauce or sour cream or something?
Fair point. Now, what was the original question again, though?
Is the good burrito the one you eat with your hands or with a fork? Because you're not gonna pick up a smothered burrito with your hands.
Are you sure? I'm a person who likes eating leftovers and droppings. I'm basically an animal.
We know that, and that's not good enough to lead off the podcast. I know you're trying to kill the podcast with that. I want your legit answer to this.
I love food, man. Burritos are good. I don't have an answer.
It's hands. Now that can get taken out of context.
Well, here's the thing, like with a burrito, I feel like the purpose of a burrito is so that you can carry it, right? Like have all these ingredients stuffed into something that's nice and what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know.
I know the word you're looking for. Culture
here. Something where you can carry it a lot. Portable is a great word for that. Something that's portable. So the web burrito is delicious. I'm not going to take anything away from it, but I feel like it kind of ruins the concept of a burrito.
You can also smother other things too, like chimichangas and all the rest. Like those already come with stuff on them. I got nothing else in the mailbag, and I insisted on not going out on that question because I didn't want Ryan to have the last laugh.
Well, I have something that we can go out on.
What's that?
We're on the road to WrestleMania because tonight is SummerSlam, and by the time you're listening to this, it's already over.
Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit POD cast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd, IamBrianSheppard. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you star side.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.